The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It was a little awkward.
But it's true.
I love you too, Mark.
I love you. I love you, man.
I love you, man.
Every time it's Debbie Gibson's birthday, you think it's Debbie Boone. So this is actual Debbie Boone. She is 66.
Wow.
This was 1977. It got her the
Poseidon Adventure.
No,
that was
Maureen McGovern. Yeah, there's got to be a morning after.
They all blend together. Maureen McGovern, Debbie Boone,
do.
Debbie Gibson.
So Debbie is 66 today, and her dad, of course, is Pat, who is upright and taking nourishment. He's doing fine. He's 88. I need to know something from you. It's a what would you do, Mike Gallagher? I know the Republic hangs.
Well, I'm
a
little worried about this because you describe me as your ethical
muse. Yes, I turn to you for
you're
what
in
to
big
do.
Trouble. If I'm your ethical muse, you're in big trouble, Buster. Well, you better find some other muses.
Then let's say that I always rely on your instincts. And so here we go. Let me paint a picture.
Yeah.
It involves a world you know and appreciate, the world of baseball. You're back right down here in Florida. You've gone to some Rays. Rays are good. We might see them punching into the postseason.
The stadium that nobody goes to.
The worst stadium in all of baseball.
I kind of like it.
Well,
cool.
I mean, you're always in a game, but it's just...
But nobody goes.
It's antiseptic. It has no personality. I've been in that building, and it's just boof. But the Rays are good.
Everybody hates the owner here. Apparently, that's the reason. I asked the PA announcer once. I got to meet him, and I said, why does nobody go to the games?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, because everybody hates the owner, because he wants to move it all the time. He wants to move to Canada, wants to move the team to Canada, so I don't get it. I mean, it's a Major League Baseball stadium right down the street from my house,
He's not in the kind of trouble that the Phoenix Suns and Phoenix Mercury owner is in, is he? That's a gentleman named Robert Sarver who's being drummed out of the league. And it's, what should we do? I mean, I'll get to my scenario here in a second. You have a guy who apparently, said some racist things, and that's a terrible thing to do. That's a Neanderthal thing to do. And apparently, just, I don't know, don't get me started.
But here's wait a minute. It's a great issue because here's what he's doing. He's selling the team.
Yep.
So he's going to cash out.
Yep.
He's like, well, I've been canceled. Everybody's coming at me. The mob comes at me. So it's my team.
Right.
So now I'll sell it, make gazillions of dollars,
yep.
I mean, I don't like cancel culture any more than you do, but that's kind of the way it goes when you own something and the mob comes after you. You know, you still get to keep all the marbles. It makes me think of this producer in New York and Hollywood, a guy named Scott Rudin.
Mm-hmm.
He's the producer, gazillionaire producer of big Broadway. He's the producer of The Music Man on Broadway,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the biggest hits that Broadway has seen in a long time. Well, they kind of Me Too. Not only was a Me Too, it was a bullying thing where he apparently routinely threw heavy objects at his personal assistants.
Yeah.
He threw them out of cars. The guy's described, at least in a series of articles, as a monster. Well, I've got friends in New York who literally work for him. They're actors who, you know, are in productions that he's mounted.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always been considered one of the most prolific producers of Hollywood and New York. Well, guess what? All he's doing is laying low. He hasn't changed anything. He hasn't given up any role. He just does it from the shadows now because he's the guy in charge. So what do you do when the person in charge is said to be a bad guy?
Right. Where does the accountability come from? This Robert Sarver, who owns the Phoenix Suns and Phoenix Mercury, his offenses are he apparently on about five occasions dropped an N-bomb. But here's the famous thing, though. It was like recounting the statements of others, like Bill called Fred an N-bomb. You know, it's like, which... don't let that word come out of your mouth. It's just a really smart thing to do these days, but it's not like, you know. And then the other thing was sex-related comments, made inappropriate comments about the physical appearance of female employees and other women, engaged in demeaning and harsh treatment of employees that constituted bullying. That's very bad. No one says that's okay. But it's a weird world, is it, that the only choices are, I guess, do nothing and just go, oh, boys will be boys, or destroy his entire empire or force him out of the league.
And it's selective, Mark. That's what's weird. It's not like it's a blanket purge. I can tell you right now, 10 people I know, high-profile, famous people, well-known to everybody listening to our voices right now, they are world-class jerks. They treat people terribly. They are bullies. They are tyrants.
Yeah.
I mean, I can promise you that no one touches them until somebody comes along and decides to touch them. Somebody decides to say, well, I'm going to do an article, and now I'm going to do the Daily Beast wants to write a piece about somebody, and then it gets momentum. And then the mob comes calling. It's the mob thing is weird. You know, we throw that term around a lot, but it is true that when they set their sights on you, and if they come coming for you, let's arguably say that's applied right now to Donald J. Trump. The mob is relentless, led by Tish James, this New York Attorney General, who. I've got a montage of videos. You've seen it. It's a mile long. That her whole campaign when she ran for AG was to get Trump.
Yep.
Laughingly, mockingly, tauntingly saying, "I'm going to get him. I'm going to sue him. I'm going to sue." And so she did. Now I'm looking at what she sued him over. No criminal charges because they tried to find him on criminal. Now they've referred it to the IRS. Southern District of New York to see if they can get him on some kind of criminal charges. They're just not going to let him alone ever. It's never going to stop. And then once they think they've dispatched with him, then they're going to turn on DeSantis.
Of course they will. It's the politicization. Go you first. Go ahead.
I've got an article in front of me from the Daily Beast about Ron DeSantis calling him a sadist. The performative sadism of Ron DeSantis. Yep, he's a sadist.
And how?
Sadists, here's the article. Sadists openly relish punishing the vulnerable. What has differentiated Ron DeSantis, and they're talking, of course, about the whole move to send illegals to Martha's Vineyard. What has differentiated him from the others in the GOP is not so much his policy positions, but rather the extent to which cruelty and humiliation have been central to his governance and political activities. I mean, I'm not kidding you.
What?
If you think they were bad
what
on Trump,
oh, you bet.
Oh, that believe me, DeSantis will be portrayed as Hannibal Lecter by 2024.
Sure, the Washington Post is outright nostalgic about Trump now, saying at least he had some rounded edges, a kind of a sense of humor. DeSantis has neither of those, which, by the way, they may be right. And which is also, by the way, totally okay with me. There's no cruelty or sadism or there's nothing personal. DeSantis has no particular necessary gripe with individuals looking for a better life. We got to have laws. We got to have borders. What this is a frontal attack on are the idiotic sanctuary policies of various parts of America and on Biden for having open borders. That's where the attack is landing, and it's landing successfully, which is why the left has no choice but to make it look like cruelty or immorality. And what you mentioned with Letitia James in New York is the same thing as Behar Barney Fife down there, this sheriff Javier Salazar, with that stupid video a couple of days ago saying, well, our information is that they were lured into a hotel room. Oh, please lure me into a nice hotel for a couple of days before putting me on a nice plane to Massachusetts. It is the politicization of law enforcement, and that's just really, really bad thing.
They've weaponized the Justice Department. They've politicized the law enforcement. It's a really terrifying thing. They've got a bunch of, you know, they got a bunch of warriors, but we do too. I hope you saw the video. I'm going to play the whole thing on the show today. If you take 5 minutes to listen to the Mike Gallagher Show today on 660 AM, The Answer, you're going to want to hear Josh Hawley grilling Biden's archivist nominee.
Mm-hmm.
Archivist?
Archivist.
Archivist.
Mm-hmm.
Archivist.
Archivist.
Okay. She is a blatant political hack. She hates Republicans. In fact, she wrote a lengthy document, a piece, about the anti-intellectual thread that runs among the Republican Party.
There's an anti-intellectualism to the Republican presidents, and that's the appeal they have with voters, is a kind of a dirty kind of anti-intellectualism.
Mm-hmm. What Josh Hawley did to her should be a crime in 37 states. I mean, it's a massacre. It's a verbal massacre where she has this nervous tick. If you saw the clip, she keeps.
Oh, thank you, Senator. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you for that Senator Hawley. Thank you for that question, Senator. Thank you for that question. Yep. It's like she's cornered.
Just to get her ramped up.
He's got her dead to rights. See, these are the fighters we need. And the beast will go after all these folks.
Totally will. So they got to be ready.
But
all
that's
right.
Okay.
I got to hear. So here we go. So you ready? Imagine yourself not down there. It's, what's even the name of that stadium now where the Rays play? I was there when it opened in 1990. That was my
Tropicana Field.
It was the Florida Suncoast Dome in 1990, yeah. And I was for the 10 minutes that I worked in Tampa, St. Petersburg between markets. Yeah. Anyway,
Tropicana Field.
Imagine that you are instead at a Rangers game. It is a Rangers game, one of the last Rangers games of this year. Because guess who's coming to town? The New York Yankees. And some history might be made as Aaron Judge, who's working his way. What's he up to? Is he up to 60 now? The American League record for home runs is the famous Roger Maris, his 61 that he hit in 1961. Okay, and that, and of course, the overall record is, of course, you know, Barry Bonds and, you know, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, all that. That was all in the National League. The American League record is 61. So he at some point will hit the record-breaking single-season home run for the American League, which is still a big thing and still big money. Mike Gallagher is in the stands. Let's say that Aaron Judge is hitting 64, 65, 66. Every new home run is a record. And you're in the stands. The Yankees finish up their season here playing the Rangers. Somebody from our town could well catch the final record-breaking Aaron Judge because it's Rangers pitching. He may hit three in every single one of those games. Sorry, just kidding. Not really. Anyway, though, so you catch the record-breaking baseball. What do you do with it?
What do you mean, what do I do with it?
Your choices are...
Sell it and make as much money as I can.
That's the thing. That could be a $500,000 baseball.
And I'll knock over every little child to get to it, every old lady. I'm going to get my hands on that ball.
He's my ethical muse.
See what I mean about the ethical muse? Trust me, I'm the wrong guy.
Because the other choice is there an argument that says you ought to run down to stadium officials and make sure that Aaron Judge gets the ball that is a part of baseball history? And his history, and give it to
him. What's Aaron Judge going to pay for it?
Exactly. Hey, Aaron,
get out your checkbook. He can afford it. Hey, can I do something in the last 60 seconds?
Of course.
Because when I do shameful things, I admit it. I have this big mouth.
I love that about you.
But I hate myself for it because I'm about to embarrass myself badly. I fly a lot, and I fly first class. Mm-hmm. But now they've got a new scam going where people who need extra help getting on the plane are allowed to pre-board, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, every 10 people do that now.
Well, it's very vaguely phrased. It's not like, hey, you know, if you're, you know, on crutches.
Well, as people have little
Muffy
the Chihuahua as a service dog with their little pink vest on, believe me, people are cheating. And so when they cheat and then they get on early because they pre-board before first class, there's no overhead bin space left.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's a whole hullabaloo because you can't find overhead bin space. And then they want to check your bag.
Can't have that.
And I never check a bag.
No.
You know what I've resorted to doing?
What?
I'm getting on with the people that pre-board.
Right.
Only I limp.
Profound. So you're dragging a leg to
I completely do a fake limp as I walk down the jet bridge. Because I'm so embarrassed, and I'm really so personally ashamed that I do this.
Let's go to the text line.
Oh, no kidding. And I'm so embarrassed. I told one of my kids this the other day, and he said, Dad, please don't admit that publicly. Don't admit
at least on the radio.
Bring
it. Don't ever do it on your own show. That's nationwide. Just keep this here between us.
But I do. And the limp, sometimes, I'm always afraid people are going to notice, but I don't think that guy was limping when he came over from the Wendy's there and got to the gate.
He was running from the restroom and from Popeye's chicken.
He sprinted from Popeye's, but now he's got a profound, and it's profound. I mean, I do a limp that's pretty dramatic. I'm a pretty good actor.
Yes,
you know,
are.
I've been up there on stage doing some big roles. I can limp down the jet bridge, but by golly, why does everybody else get to get on before I do?
It's a weird thing. I've heard that too.
Anybody, it's not people in wheelchairs.
No.
They're just walking on.
They refer to it as anybody who needs a little extra time. I need a little extra time. You know,
Well, I'm fat and lazy and 62 years old.
I need time.
And I don't want my bag to get checked because some obnoxious people put their 9 bags up on the overhead.
But you know
what? Because they're doing exactly what I'm doing. So guess what? They do it. I do it. Only difference is I do it with gusto.
You do.
I
limp. And with verve and panache. And you do
I
not.
Limp. Nobody
and you will
thinks.
Never. And you will never have a support peacock in there with you. No animals.
I'm afraid. No. Or a pot-bellied pig. Yes. I'm so embarrassed.
You feel cleansed? You feel good? Is that good for the soul?
Well, I'm trying to look at the text line. So far, I'm not getting too much. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Now, I'm not kidding you. And this is why I'm ashamed of myself. I'm a mom who has a daughter with disabilities. That's disgusting what you do. Now, see, and believe me, ma'am, I'm going to tell you right now, you're totally right. And it's a shameful
time
thing that
rethink.
I've admitted.
I don't know.
And I'm gonna stop doing it. It's stupid, but
see,
I mean, why?
It's a process.
But how about the other people stop doing it too, so that the mom with the disabilities
Social
they can
combat.
Really get on early because that's
Let
legit.
The people who really need it get on the plane.
I'm not proud of it, ma'am. So, mom, don't worry. I know I'm wrong. And that's probably why I admit it because I'm a mess.
Cleansing for the soul.
And I should not be anybody's ethical muse. Clearly.
Clearly. My lesson is learned. All right, you'll learn a lot of lessons
on
today
the show at
with Mike Gallagher today, coming up at 10, soon as we're done on 660 AM The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.